It is January 7th, 2021, and it's the day after the U.S. had a storming of its freaking Capitol building while Congress was in session. So, we've got plenty of news stories about that. But, as usual, I always like to cover other news that people aren't covering, too. So I tried my hardest and I found a few world stories to talk about before we talk about just all the, I guess it's the bedlam. I think bedlam's the best word for it. So let's go ahead here, and you're listening to News to Me, and we are live. So when we're live, which is every day but Friday usually, Monday through Friday is when the show airs, we can connect if you just SSH over to Tilde or Anon Radio. So, or excuse me, SDF. I'm all over the place. I got halfway through my lunch when my alarm went off and I was like, alright, I'm not going to miss the show. I'm not going to be late. But now I'm kind of like, anyway, I feel like I sound funny. Anyway, go ahead and SSH over to SDF. You can SSH to tty.sdf.org if you want to be cool like that. Then you just go ahead and type com, C-O-M, hit enter, and then G for go to. And then type Anon Radio, all lowercase, all smashed together. And then here you go. Howdy! And so I have returned. Let's see what's been going on. Hey, welcome, One of Vaults. Thanks for tuning in. And it looks like we've got a whole crew. Oh, look, Linux on board. I play with you on Minecraft server, and Ratsu, and Jazzmaz, and all the whole crew. So, hello, hello. Well, if you have made it this far, well then, let's go ahead and start up the Blender.
World News.
It's time for World News. All right. So, get my words out. Turkish court accepts new indictment against former Kurdish leader. So a Turkish court accepted an indictment against jailed Kurdish politician Selahattin Demirtas on Thursday, state media reported, rebuffing demands by the European Court of Human Rights for his release. The incident is the second against Demirtas, a former co-leader of the People's Democratic Party and presidential candidate, related to October 2014 protests in the mainly Kurdish southeast. You might remember we talked about them back whenever they first got charged. 37 people died in clashes during the protests, which began over accusations that the army stood by as Islamic State militants besieged the Syrian Kurdish town of Kobani in plain view just across the Turkish border. An indictment calling for 38 counts of life sentences without parole against 108 defendants, including Demirtas, was accepted by the Ankara court on Thursday, state-owned Anadolu agency said. Welcome, welcome. Looks like X1 and Oroboroso have joined the chat. It reported last week that the charges included 37 cases of homicide and disrupting the unity and territorial integrity of the state. So, we'll see how that plays out. I'll let you know if there's anything else going on. But, of course, the European Court of Human Rights is asking for his release, so there could be some news there. Japan has declared emergency as COVID-19 cases hit record high. Yoshihide Suga announces a one-month emergency in Tokyo and surrounding areas, but experts say the measure is inadequate. Japanese Prime Minister Yoshihide Suga declared on Thursday a one-month state of emergency in Tokyo and surrounding areas, urging residents of the capital to avoid going out and asking bars and restaurants to close by 8 p.m. amid a record surge in COVID-19 infections. The emergency will run from Friday until February 7th and will cover the capital and their three neighboring prefectures of Kanagawa, Saitama, Chiba, a region home to about 30% of the country's population. So we'll see how that plays out there. Good luck to you there. They're already limiting ambulance services in Southern California. And here where I'm at, in Austin, they are converting the convention center into a field hospital. So it should be just dandy. So anyway, pandemic is going strong. Now, going over to Indonesia, a gay Indonesian policeman has been dismissed from the force because of his sexual orientation. A gay Indonesian policeman dismissed from the force because of his sexual orientation has lost his legal fight to be reinstated after a central Java court rejected his lawsuit, his lawyer said on Thursday. Tri Teguh Pujianto, a 31-year-old former police brigadier, was fired in 2010 after 10 years in the job, after police from a different town apprehended he and his partner on Valentine's Day when they were saying their goodbyes at his partner's workplace. Teguh's lawyers from the non-governmental group Community Legal Aid Institute, in a statement, said the local administrative court had rejected his suit. Yeah, I know you don't believe in COVID-19 or Barroso. Ayesha Humeda, one of Teguh's lawyers, said they were still considering their options, including an appeal. She expressed disappointment at the court's decision not to proceed with the case, during which the legal team had sought to prove that discrimination had occurred. A spokesman for Central Java did not immediately respond to a request for comment. Go over here a little further out the way. China's central bank has reduces leeway for firms to borrow abroad. China's central bank said on Thursday it tightened the way it assesses cross-border financing risks to make it harder for domestic firms to raise funds in overseas markets. The People's Bank of China lowered a parameter on cross-border corporate financing under its macroprudential assessments to 1 from 1.25, it said in a statement on its website. I'm not really sure what that is, but macroprudential assessments. That reversed a move in March when the central bank eased conditions allowing domestic coronavirus-hit firms to conduct overseas funding more easily. China has seen a steady rebound from the coronavirus, with manufacturing activity sustaining its recovery to pre-pandemic levels. The string of upbeat data has led economists to forecast some winding down in 2021 of China's easing measures introduced since the start of the pandemic. So we'll see how that works. But yeah, all the people, it seems like, they're the first in, so they're the first out, I guess. So, we're almost there. We're almost into national news. But we got one more for you. Burger King is revamping its brand for the first time in over 20 years. Burger King has redesigned its brand, including its logo, food packaging, and restaurants, in order to reflect improvements, such as eliminating preservatives, the fast food chain announced on Thursday. The rebranding is the first in 20 years, includes a new logo with a rounded font and bold colors in brown, red, and green, nod to flame grilling process. So yeah, the King won't be going anywhere despite the rebranding. We love him the way he is, and he'll continue to be weird. And so, there you go. So, I thought that was kind of interesting, just because Burger King's big around, all over the place. So, it was something I didn't realize until not too long ago. So, there we go. Let's go ahead here. We're going to play a song, and then we're going to cover the U.S. news, because the U.S. news kind of dominated every website I went to, pretty much. It was all about different U.S. news going on, which I think we kind of can agree is makes sense. So anyway, let me go ahead and pull up the song for us today. This song is called Lump, and it's by the Presidents of the United States of America, a band. Lump said alone. Lump lingered last in line for brains and
dead.
Listening to Anon Radio, powered by SDF Public Access Unix System.
That is 100% correct. Anon Radio is powered by the SDF Public Unix System. Public Access Unix System, whatever. It's a PubNix. It is awesome. It's super fun. All right. Well, I wanted to go ahead and jump into domestic news. I've got a few not White House related stories, and then we'll go into it. Usually U.S. politics I don't like talking about too much because I get what is the right way to put it? I find it difficult to not just go off and rant about what I think whenever I'm trying, when this surreptitiously, or at least on the face of it, this should be a news show. So anyway, we'll figure it out. Maybe we'll do a talk radio show one day. But, oh, got a burp. Sorry, like I said, I just ate before this, so got to take care of things. All right, well, let's get going. Let's start up the siren. Domestic news time. All right, so here we go. First, Reason Magazine has this article. I didn't see this mentioned elsewhere, but Reason's a libertarian magazine, so that's the angle they're coming from if you care about biases. New York lawmakers are mulling a bill that would allow the state to detain anyone carrying or suspected of carrying a contagious disease that makes them a significant threat to public health. Democratic Assemblyman Nick Perry of New York's 58th District spearheaded Bill A416, which holds that the government may order the removal and or detention of such a person or a group of such persons in a medical facility or other appropriate facility or premises designated by the governor or his or her delegee. A confirmed carrier would be released only after he or she is no longer contagious, and a suspected carrier could be set free only when the government proves that he or she is not infected with or has not been exposed to such a disease. Those who may have been in contact with the alleged carriers may also be detained and released when they test negative for the malady in question, or if the suspected carrier with whom they interacted is deemed to be negative. What could go wrong? The bill's language is noticeably vague in defining the parameters around disease type, leaving the government with wide latitude in conducting its risk analysis. Should it pass, Governor Cuomo would be the first state leader to have that power at his disposal. The two-term Democrat has navigated the COVID-19 pandemic with an array of inflexible regulations, from what food bars can serve if they'd like to stay open, to how hospitals are allowed to vaccinate New Yorkers. Perry defended his bill on Twitter. "I'm an American who understands our Constitution is sacred and provides us with the right to agree or disagree and hold differing positions on issues that may relate to our civil and constitutional rights," he wrote. The legislation was originally introduced during the 2015 to 2016 session in response to the Ebola virus. This bill hasn't been actively pushed for passage because the Ebola threat ended thanks to a vaccine. It was ended thanks to a vaccine. What? I don't think that's right. Anyway, Perry continued, "However, many learned scientists believe that the likelihood of such a deadly pandemic is still real, and somewhere in the future there may be the need for people to be protected from a person or persons carrying a deadly and transmittable virus. It's difficult to believe that the bill's reintroduction didn't come specifically in response to COVID-19. Though it is a serious virus, it's also no Ebola, which carries an average case fatality rate of 50%, with some outbreaks reaching as high as 90%. So, yeah. So, that is pretty wild. So, wait, what? What happened? I looked away, and then I looked at Calm, and things have happened in Calm. I don't know what's going on. I don't know what a zap is, but apparently zapped. Somebody was zapped. Anyway, we'll look at that later because we've got all sorts of other stuff going on. The Nation, I wanted to mention this, but I don't want to read it because it's a little long. But MF Doom is a rapper who his family reports he passed away in October, but his death was just recently shared with the world. But MF Doom was a rapper that was made a big impact in the world, and he was around for a long time. So, because of that, he's got a nice write-up in The Nation. The Nation had a few good stories today. So if you've got time and would like to, it's definitely worth checking out. But anyway, I just wanted to mention it. Kind of like how we talked about, there's some rapper yesterday we mentioned because they had an aneurysm and went to the hospital too.
Is it time for tech news?
It is. I don't So here we go. Let's talk about this tech story that's pretty cool. Japanese company NEC, that's November Echo Charlie, which develops facial recognition systems, has launched one that can identify people even when they're wearing masks. It hones in on parts of the face that aren't covered up, such as the eyes, to verify the identity. Verification takes less than 1 second, with an accuracy rate of more than 99.9%, the NEC says. The Met Police uses NEC's NeoFace live facial recognition to compare faces in a crowd with those on a watch list. Other clients include Lufthansa and Swiss International Airlines. And NEC is trialing the system for automated payments at shops in its Tokyo headquarters. Shinya Takashima, assistant manager of Next Digital Platform Division, told the Reuters news agency the technology could help people avoid contact with surfaces in a range of situations. It had been introduced as needs grew even more. Due to the coronavirus situation, he said. So they have an infographic that says, like, how does it work? And it's pretty neat because it's very simplified. so much orange in my comm. So how does it work? Faces and existing police photos are mapped by software. Then camera at events scan faces in the crowd, and they compare for possible matches. And so then photos of false matches may be kept for weeks to kind of train the system, I guess. Before the pandemic, facial recognition algorithms failed to identify 20 to 50% of images of people wearing masks, according to a report from the National Institute of Standards and Technology, NIST. But by the end of 2020, it reported a vast improvement in accuracy. In August, the use of such system by Welsh police forces was ruled unlawful in a case brought by a civil rights campaigner. And in the U.S., big technology companies including Amazon and IBM have suspended the use of facial recognition software by police officers to allow lawmakers time to consider legislation on how it should be deployed. Hi, Pizza Pal. I haven't seen you in comm in a long time. Welcome, welcome. See you, Handy C. Sorry, had to jump out of comm. Oh, hell. Yeah, I'm going to have to read through comm later because it seems like there's all sorts of stuff going on in there. So facial recognition with masks is a thing now. So, good luck covering up if you go to any protests. So, now we've got about 10 minutes to go before the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe starts up. That's a show that happens every day at 19:30 UTC. Monday through Monday, any day of the week, it's on and it's fun. Oh, little. Sorry. After I eat, it's a weird thing. I've got seasonal allergies from outside stuff, so I get clogged up from time to time. And I slept with the window open, and it had rained yesterday, but I thought it was going to get cold. But apparently it didn't get cold enough to stop whatever mold or whatever bugs me from getting in here. Anyway, listen to the Dubious Goals Committee. It's a good time. There's a lot of beeps and boops and audio processing going on right now in the wintertime. We'll see what happens. So anyway, check it out. Okay, so here we go. Deep breath. Stay calm. We're going to go through some news sites and their take on things. So first up, from The Guardian, white privilege on display, police hypocrisy condemned after pro-Trump insurgents. So, many Americans and people around the world watched in horror as a mob of Donald Trump supporters rushed the U.S. Capitol in Washington, D.C. on Wednesday afternoon, wreaking fear and chaos and seeming little resistance from the police on Capitol Hill. The events inside the building quickly unfolded on social media as tweets poured out from the concerned members of Congress and images of the insurgents inside the Capitol went viral. While fury over the mob was directed at various Republican lawmakers on social media, Trump bore the brunt of the blame from his most stringent critics. Most people, including George Conway, husband of Trump's former advisor Kellyanne Conway, and the U.S. Representative Rashida Tlaib, called for Trump's immediate impeachment. And Robert Wright is quoted, a tweet is quoted, and he says, "One person is responsible for this attempted coup. He is sitting in the White House, watching this on television and tweeting. He has been threatening and inciting this for weeks. This is the logical and inevitable consequence of Trump." And Robert Wright used to be, he was like the press secretary or something during the Clinton administration. Oh, here he is. He's the former Secretary of Labor and the co-founder of Inequality Media. So, anyway, that's his, who he is. But yeah, so, white privilege is on display like never before in the U.S. Capitol, tweeted the author and scholar Ibram X. Kendi. And, basically, others pointed to the stark contrast between law enforcement's response to the mob at Capitol versus their treatment of protesters against police brutality. Peaceful protesters got pepper sprayed so Trump could hold up a Bible for people in front of a church. And yeah, it looks like the rest of this article is tweet quotes, so we're going to skip that. Political scientists pointed out that the day's events would change the way the world viewed the U.S. No one in the world is likely to see, respect, fear, or depend on us in the same way again, tweeted Richard Haass, president of the Council on Foreign Relations, a U.S.-based think tank. Ian Bremmer, president of Eurasia Group, wrote on Twitter, it looks like, there is a mention of, some atrocities in the chat. Seems like there is, yeah. Okay. Well, one to avoid drama, I'm just going to keep talking about the news and, we'll see what's happening in a minute. Ian Bremmer, president of Eurasia Group, wrote on Twitter, "It's unimaginable that today's disaster could happen in Canada, Japan, France, or the UK," saying that the U.S. is the most politically dysfunctional and divided of advanced industrial democracies. So that's one thing. People are mad and calling out the fact that the behavior of the police is different. From Al Jazeera, top White House officials resigned following the Capitol Hill mayhem. This was covered by a few different sites, and one of the things about this feature, or this headline, is that there were some resignations, but when I read it, I thought, oh wow, the cabinet gave up, but it's not really the cabinet, it's a few people. So let's go through it. A number of officials have resigned from outgoing U.S. President Donald Trump's administration in the wake of violence that occurred at Capitol Hill on Wednesday. Other officials are considering whether to hand in their resignations following unprecedented scenes of pro-Trump supporters storming the Capitol building as Congress began counting Electoral College votes to confirm President-elect Joe Biden's victory. At least 4 people were killed and 68 others arrested. The White House has yet to issue a statement amid the announcements of resignations of these officials. So, Deputy National Security Advisor Matt Pottinger resigned on Wednesday in response to the reaction. The Chief of Staff of First Lady Melania Trump quit following the mayhem at the Capitol. The White House Social Secretary Anna Christina Ricci Nisita also reportedly resigned. Deputy White House Press Secretary Sarah Matthews said she had resigned. A senior administration official told Reuters on Thursday that Ryan Tully, Trump's top White House advisor on Russia, resigned. Mick Mulvaney, the former chief of staff, on Thursday announced that he was resigning as special envoy to Northern Ireland. Tyler Godspeed, the acting chairman of the White House of Economic Advisors, has resigned. And U.S. Transportation Secretary Elaine Cho announced she was resigning. So Chow, and of note, the reason it's noteworthy is Chow is the wife of Senator Majority Leader Mitch McConnell. So Mitch McConnell's wife quit too. So Yeah, lots of people have quit, and we'll see what's going on. Yeah, I'm not sure. So anyway, yeah, so that happened. Get this next story pulled up. We've only got about 3 minutes to go before the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe comes up. So, let's see. This is strange. Yeah, there's a lot of activity in comm right now, so it's kind of hard. I'm keep getting distracted. Sorry about that. So anyway, the big thing, the big takeaway, I'll post on Mastodon a link to all the stories that I found, but most of them, just so you're aware, most of them do link. It's like a lot of them kind of cover the same thing. That's why there's a bunch of more links than usual in there. Whenever it's something like this, I usually jump around on the issue, or I'll read a couple different sources. The main thing: Mexico, the president of Mexico has slammed, has spoken up against what's going on here. The ProPublica has a decent article going over the planning of the riot or the coup, depending on which point of view you want to take. And Reuters has an article about like the world view and just in general how the world came through. And so yeah, so it's kind of wild. It's definitely difficult. It's one of those things that it's hard to deal with. If you're an American, you know, it kind of feels weird because it's totally goes against, at least for me, it's kind of totally different from how you were raised up. You know, it's kind of like, I've always known the U.S. was like flawed, but I always pictured that at Capitol Hill, everyone just kind of, it was this thing where it was like, we all respect each other. We'd have different views, some strongly different views, but we all just are trying to figure it out. So, anyway, looks like, okay, so let's see what's happening. Looks like a lot of kicking and chatting, and then more kicking, and then more chatting. So, it sounds like there's some activity and calm going on. But yeah, join me tomorrow. We'll be here again. Tomorrow is Friday, so I'm going to pre-record the show, so there won't be any live chat, because I have a work meeting at 1900 UTC when it is the winter time in the USA. So anyway, please stick around and enjoy the Dubious Goals Committee. Well, that sound means that our time's come to an end. Thanks for listening. I'll be back tomorrow and every weekday, Monday through Friday, before the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe at 1900 UTC.